Welcome to the Hella Chingona podcast, where chingonas thrive. The idea is to create an ongoing conversation that uplifts through testimonio, our personal storytelling, in a way that brings folks together across space and time, anchored in sincerity, power, and community. I am your host, Rosana Alvarez, and I am super jazzed to kick it with y'all in beautiful conversation, sometimes with a guest, and other times, solita, solita, pero igual de cabroncita.
On this segment, I'm joined by Elodia Esperanza Benitez, a Chicana poet from Gilroy, California, who brings the strength of her ancestors and heritage into her work. She's been writing for a hot minute, and this is not her first feature here with me on the Hella Chingona podcast, and I am excited to join Elodia in conversation today as we talk about fire, faith, y flores. Pero como somos bilingüe, fuego, fe, and flowers. Elodia, welcome.
Hi, like you said, this is like my third or fourth time, I think, jumping on one of these conversations with you. So I'll keep it brief. I'm sure I've done more, to use your word, flowery introductions before. My name is Elodia Esperanza Benitez. I'm from Gilroy, California. I am a daughter, a sister, a niece, a granddaughter, and all of that translates into my being a poet.
Beautiful. So you've had a lot of exciting stuff happening. I think the last time you were on here as a featured guest, you had just released your first book.
Has Love it been that long?
I think it has been that long. I mean, we're always in conversation, so it feels like just yesterday. But I think I was still living in Gilroy. You were finishing up and had just published your book, and it was circulating with the book signings and getting out there in the world and making our families proud and getting us really giddy about possibilities, right? And so now you're here, and without putting all your work on blast, from what I know, you are working on other projects, hint, hint, other soon to be released.
Oh, my
fire.
When you put it in the context of when I released my book, wow, that feels like a long time ago. You're not kidding when you say that I've had a lot going on since then. Project-wise, you are right. I'm working on my second collection with the Riot of Roses Publishing House. So we've yet to make an official announcement. But that's projected to be, hopefully, if everything goes well, sometime later this year. Nice. In addition to that, I've had a few features, I think, through Eastside Magazine. I recently did some work with another magazine out of San Jose, so that should be coming out pretty soon, hopefully before the end of summer. I've done... yeah, a few talks here and there. I've been keeping myself busy.
Good kind of busy, though, right?
A good kind of busy. Yeah, mixed in with some really hefty life developments that are just part of as we get older and as we go through life's journey, that both affect and inspire the art.
Right. And I think this is where, you know, let me know what you're comfortable sharing and not, and we'll move with the conversation. But we've had a lot of conversations about how life and our poetry are intertwined. And when you read through your first book, Love in Many Faces, every page is a beautiful suspiro of sorts, right? It's a snippet of a story. It feels like I'm walking around the neighborhood with you and getting a glimpse into your family, your neighbors, your community, your gente, and that love that you have for all of us in our complicated, windy, fiery journeys. And the times that we've had cafecito in real life, IRL, like the youngins say, not my generation anymore. You talk about the sounds of your neighborhood. And I feel like when I read through the pages of your work, the sounds of people's voices almost come through the page. So would you mind talking a little bit more about your process, the inspiration, the corazón behind how you tackle all of these poems? Because every one of them, for as much as they feel like a beautiful flower that you're holding in your hand, a beautiful little suspiro, and finally like, yes, we're seen in all of our beautiful chaos, there's also some fire to every single one of those poems. And collectively, it's like you're over here breathing poetic fire like a dragon of sorts, right? A Quetzalcoatl, to be more accurate. You might talk in a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so with Love in Many Faces, each poem is a little bit of a snapshot. And you're right, I do try to, part of my process with writing a poem is so heavily entwined with trying to capture the I'm looking for the word, but like the essence of the moment. So in my head there's a story that goes through to this poem, and with the poem it's trying to verbalize and capture the strongest emotion in that story or in that moment. A lot of Love in Many Faces, a lot of the poems are these little snapshots of love stories. And whether or not that what that translates to, I've had a few different people kind of come up to me and like, is this what you meant? Or you know, like it's reading as romantic, but I didn't take it that way. And so a lot of it too is depending on where it connects with you, these little snapshots. But everything that I write is written from a desire to connect. So for my reader to see a little of themselves in it, or a loved one, or that familiarity.
Kind of like a mirror of sorts, right? Or a window even, where we get this little peek, but it's also reflecting back.
Which is, yeah, which is what we do as artists, is say, you know, we're holding up a mirror to ourselves, or we're holding up a mirror to whoever it is that we're trying to talk to in that moment. And with my work, I never want to hold up a mirror that is a condemnation. Even in a lot of like the heavier stuff that I write, which will be featured in my next project, it's never a criticism of that story, of that picture, of what I'm trying to translate to the page. Because I know with a lot, for as beautiful as the experiences and the, you know, the what it is to have lived, to have grown up being, you know, Chicano, Mexicano, kind of like, you know, that the balance of that in between. For as rich and beautiful as those experiences are, there's been a lot of there's been a lot in between.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so the goal or the purpose of my poem is never to hold up a mirror of condemnation. Always to translate what I'm seeing.
Right.
Or what I've seen.
Right. It's almost like I take that mirror and I also think about like our modern day mirrors, right? And our phones are sometimes mirrors. And when you access that mirror, you got to open up the damn camera. And you know, when you open up your phone and the angle's down here, and you're like, good God.
It's always like the neck,
Right?
it's always like the chin down.
It's you, but it's also not accurately you because that's not where everybody's always interfacing with you the angle from, right? So, as silly of an example as that sounds, I just think about how a lot of times when we're reading about our communities from people who don't understand the complexity of us or don't want to take the time to do that, it's almost like I don't want to say we hold the responsibility, but we've accepted that realm of accountability to say, you know what? There are more angles to see us from on this journey in this story. And a lot of what you do is say, all right, let me shift that lens a little bit, right? Let me show you a different part of this picture and a fuller part of the picture through all these glimpses of story.
I think the beauty is in the honesty. So, when I write something like, so this is a little sneak peek into one of my poems.
That's
When I
cool.
write something like sitting outside the probation office, which is a poem that I was really, it was really like great to like just sit there in that moment and to have to let those sense memories kind of like come back on me. It's not it's a snapshot into a very lived experience, but the key for me was to kind of not it's not a condemnation of like who I was sitting outside the probation office waiting for, or a kind of like a deep dive into the like what is it? The tone itself is not negative. It's just a lived in experience. It
Right.
just sits there, and it just is what it is.
And that you yourself, as a writer who writes from your life experience, acknowledging, like, I'm here out of probation office, right? Like, those things can coexist. I think even that
Yeah,
alone
right
speaks
there
volumes.
for people who have sat outside the probation office waiting for a loved one. It's that one right there, in San Jose when you pass by the jail and then you get off like the next exit. I wish I knew the street name
Probably
of it.
not that far from how Dulce was talking about where the reentry center might be, right? Everything's
Yeah,
kind
probably
of
not that far from right there.
confusing. Wow.
And so with my next project, I really like had to sit down and delve into those sense memories. And I had to ask myself as I was writing them, what are the honest emotions here? And are you writing this from a place of healing, or is it still coming? Is it coming from a place of, I'm not the not anger, but like, is it coming from a place that still hasn't been processed and looked through?
Yeah.
There was a lot of, and I think it just has to do also with like the age that I'm currently in my life. I'm in my mid-20s, and so I've left childhood. I'm leaving young adulthood, and I'm coming into what feels like really being an adult. And so it's important for me to pro to not take anything with me into this next phase of life that I haven't looked at and examined and really felt through, really processed how I feel about these things.
And I don't want to throw this word your way, but you know, you are a poet, you play with words all day. and sincerity is your jam. But I keep thinking as you're talking, right, about how there is a lot of stuff out there about vulnerability. And I'm not going to get into my whole rant on vulnerability and exploitation of vulnerability of people of color, because that's a whole other topic for a Solita episode. But when I think of you talking about what you're saying, it could easily be confused for vulnerability. But I hear you saying something more along the lines of a sincerity kind of approach, where it's not so much about the vulnerability, but it's about the sincerity of how things are. And that might call on strands of vulnerability, but it might call on a lot of strands of other things alongside that. So that journey of yours, as I'm seeing it unfold, has always been very much grounded in sincerity. And you show up, whether you're in your early 20s, your mid 20s, or even the time before that, right? And it's always been a very sincere presence that you've invited from other people in how you model your own storytelling. It feels full, right? Where it's like, even as you talk about your journey right now, you're saying, this is where I'm at right now, in a very sincere and open way that, again, right, might be confused for vulnerability, but I think it's the power of your sincerity. And that's a little bit different. And I don't want to throw that whole, like, reflect right now in the moment, but just anything that comes up for you and little baby Elodia in the background right there behind you, what does that evoke? Where does that land you in this moment?
I think with vulnerability, and I view vulnerability as kind of like a step in that process. So it's not something that... It's something very private. I think when you're looking at that word to be vulnerable, is to be displayed open, and is to be, and I don't always feel like it's necessary for public consumption, like you said, like you know, the way it gets utilized. I don't need to put out work that's essentially like flogging myself or you know, pouring blood over the page. I don't think, for me personally, because I know there are poets and artists who, for them, that's part of their process, and that's part of how they translate, that they put it into the art and then it's translated for them. For me, I think, and to the credit of a lot of the people and women that I've met in community, for me it's much more true to my art and much healthier for me to process these things first and then translate them into art. And I've, you know, going back to a lot of the people that I've met in community who, you know, who, when you sit down with them, you know, you mentioned like us sitting down for coffee, or when, you know, any of the women in my life that I sit down to really talk with, there's such a healthy cash, you know. I want to say like somebody should drop a mic in on these conversations, but I don't. But they should remain, you know, they should remain private the way that they are. You know, there's a beauty to translating them first, your experiences, for me. You know, and that goes into my process, that goes into what actually ends up making it onto the page.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. I think it's funny that you're like, somebody needs to drop a mic in the middle of these conversations. And I think that was one of the original pieces that inspired the existence of this podcast. It was like, we had so many good, rich, raw conversations, right? That it's always,
what happens before the strategizing meeting, what happens after the official meeting, what happens over tacos or cafecito or in somebody's back patio, whatever it is, right? In the library, not even in the official part of it, but in that little entryway, right between the two doors in the library and Gilroy. It's like you can go in and out, or you can go in and go take a turn. But it was almost like, okay, if we can share tidbits of these conversations, they would be so life affirming and life giving. And still at the same time, the podcast segments themselves are a glimpse into certain angles of that, but not the full conversation itself, right? And I think for a lot of what you're talking about in terms of not having to, you know, rompernos las venas and bleed all over and put that on display, we come from communities that are constantly, you know, by force systemically vandalized to the extent that it's almost like vulnerability is the default. And what you're seeing and misinterpreting in a variety of different ways is people reacting to that and responding to that. And so the conversation then needs to be looked at from a different angle. And so I love those real raw talks that feel a lot like, you know, little chisme sessions where it's like, okay, hold on, let me give you the inside scoop on this little meeting we're about to roll into. And then we strategize, like we pregame these meetings legit, right? Like, and even there's follow-up. You leave things connected with people. You leave things that you're working on, that fire that you put into. And I'm thinking specifically like with you, you're very active beyond writing your poems. I think people hear, oh, Loria's a poet, so she must be just, you know, in a room all day, just typing and writing and meditating. And you're a person in the world. You're a person in your community. You're a daughter. Your mom's on here saying, hola. She was like the first one waving to us in the chat. You know, you've got people who support you. You've got folks who are inviting you to those cafecitos to just have that time to recalibrate or to find that faith or reconnect to your sense of faith. And so when you were like, hey, we should do another podcast segment, I was like, yes, it's time, right? It was with the idea that we're going to be collaborating real soon at this conference, but we've also been collaborating on a whole lot of other things, moving some, you know, community arts work in Gilroy, among several other things. And you've got all these exciting projects where there's some overlap happening. And, you know, you meet somebody and then you meet someone else and then you meet someone else. And it's all these adventures that we're kind of like braiding into each other's journeys as people in the world, right? So your poetry is very much not you locked away in a room in this beautiful writing fortress retreat. It's you existing in the world. And then, just as you've said in this segment, trying to share parts of that sincerely with people, right? With your community. And so when I said, all right, what do you want your tagline to be? Because we're working on shirts for this conference. It was like perfect fit for how to roll out the themes of today's segment, that fire, that faith, you know, those flores. So if you want to elaborate a little bit on that balance of fire and faith, because it is hard to carry, you know, that gift of being able to put words on a page to create art, to create different stories that are real stories, right?
Well, a little bit about, so the tagline, the title of today's episode, Fuego Fe and Flores, came about from a conversation that you and I were having. First of all, yeah, we are going to be collaborating pretty soon on a talk ourselves and another awesome poet, Cindy Tapia, shout out to her. And you were asking me about the, you know, like, what's your phrase? What's, you know, what do you want to put on the t-shirt? And I think I told you, I was like, let me think about it for a little bit. I'm making sopa right now. I'm like standing over a boiling pot. I'll get back to you. And it was, I think, like hours later, I hadn't gotten back to you, because I had gotten distracted with, you know, a situation going on in my family. And if it was about me, I would throw my business out there. But since it's not, I'll keep it to myself. You already know how big of a chismosa I am. But it really made me like pause and reflect. You know, earlier you know when you asked me to kind of talk about a lot of, you know, like what I've been doing since our last talk, which is when I released Love in Many Faces. I mentioned that it seems like so long ago because so much life has been lived in between there. And that goes for myself personally, you know, as well. You know, with life development, family members who grow older, who pass away. I lost my father in January. People, the way that changes you and the way that you grow, you know, from it, because as it is, you're already growing. And when something comes along and kind of redirects that path, you still continue to grow. You change direction, and the way you would have grown were it not for that situation is now different. And so what came to mind was first fire, which in itself has been used, we use it in, you know, in a way to kind of in a positive way, you know, like she's a fiery spirit, she's on fire, she's, you know, she's got this intense energy. But there's also the destructive nature of fire, which, you know, when it runs through a forest, you know, decimates it. And what happens afterwards, once the fire has run through the forest and burned everything down, is that waiting time for regrowth, which is where, you know, faith. And for me, it's both a spiritual faith and an inner faith that I've needed for myself. So fuego, fe, and flores, which is for me represents, you know, the words that blossom from situations, the inner peace and healing that grows once you've been through that, once that time is over. So I think I texted you the tag that's when I texted you. I was like, I want something to the effect of a fire, faith, and flowers. Fuego, fe, and flores.
And again, you got Ana Romero right here asking, how can I get that shirt? Ana, I got you. Follow the podcast. I will tag Elodia in that, and we'll make that happen. This will be after we have that conference over in Davis at Malk's real soon. So I know that, you know, we can run this for an hour and a half, but I'm trying to keep us a little bit shorter and digestible. And in this final stretch, you saw me disappear for a few seconds. I was sweating it, and I was like, Elodia's got this. She's going to keep talking. I'm going to roll back in. We can flow like that. There's some fluidity there. So I appreciate that and how much you've shared with us, not just by way of today, but by way of your poetic ofrendas in the world, by the way that you carry yourself in community, by the way that you take all of those things in and regenerate your own kind of fire with that, because it does have a ripple effect. And I think that, you know, relationships flow in all directions. And I feel like I've learned so much from you in your mid-20s, and my mid-20s are so far behind me now, that it's always one of the nice little bonuses in life is getting to certain ages in your life and looking back and seeing how much you're also still learning, right, from those younger generations, and how much we're also carrying forward from who we've learned before, right, in the older generation. So it's, life is a learning process. It's a journey of sincerity. I love this journey that we're on, co-conspiring as writers and as people grounded in our love and faith in our communities. And I think that that's why time and time again, I keep inviting you back, because there's always a different snippet, a different part of your story that I think, you know, I'm wanting to drop a microphone in the middle of our conversations for, just so folks can remember. And I think a lot of my work is around helping people remember things that are around us every day. And while I didn't ask you to show up with your, you know, poetry book in hand, ready to read poems, I think, as we can all tell, you flow poetically. And in closing, if you want to, right?
Let me stop you right there, because I pulled it up. I pulled it up in production.
Always ready.
You don't hop on one of these points. You don't hop on one of these with you without having a few poems right there in your belt, ready to go. So let me pull this up real quick. Can you still see me?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. All right. So this is sitting outside the probation office. The poem that I mentioned several times earlier. Sitting outside the probation office, leather sticking to the back of my legs, son on my left arm, brother by my right arm, waiting on my dad to come out, big bottle of water and a pack of sunflower seeds, sitting in the cup holder of my dad's Cutlass Supreme. I'm sitting outside the probation office, munching on hot Cheetos, sipping on an Arizona tea, watching men in long shorts and UGGO shirts walk up. I've got my book to read, but I'm playing I Spy with my brother to keep him from getting bored. I spy with my little eye a pit bull in the backseat of a Yukon, windows cracked for him, just like us. If anyone asks, he probably has to say he's 12 too. And that's just a little, that'll be in my upcoming collection. So no official date on that just yet. We'll make that announcement pretty soon.
But y'all see what I'm talking about, right? It's like you can visualize, you can see the stories, you can freaking smell it.
My head's big enough in this screen. I've got two big heads.
And I think what happens is that you activate the layers of stories that we're already carrying, right? Like I think back to so many constellation points in my life where that imagery has been present, right? In the neighborhoods where you walk through and snippets of those images are present. So you kind of bring together a whole sopa de recuerdos. And you call on us to remember the humanity in all of those moments, even in the midst of that kind of complexity, right? Because what we learn is nobody wants to be outside of the probation building thinking and seeing. And it's like, but we are. So what, right? And you're kind of just saying, here's how it is. And there's a tenderness even in your words. And I love hearing, I've said this so many times, I love hearing people share their work in their own words and cadence and voice, because even the way you activate the story might be different from how I might read it in black and white, right? As I'm also kind of like recollecting and remembering alongside you, to hear it in your voice, there's a tenderness there and another element of sincerity. And so you already know I'm going to keep inviting you back for that same reason, see what we can work out and finagle moving forward as we continue to grow on this podcast journey. Elodia Benitez, Elodia Benitez. See if I didn't miss any letters in reading that out loud. But you left us with poetry. I want to give you a chance to have the final parting words, whether it be consejo, whatever it is, to give you that exclamation point, that period, that dot, 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 however you want to emphasize your closing here and your time with us in appreciations, hardcore, hella, échale.
Okay, real quick. It's not a bad thing. So much of my work is based on lived in experiences and snapshots. And as I've gotten older, I've asked myself, you know, is it healthy, or is it still productive for me to live so much in the past, you know? And I don't know what my work is going to look like going forward. I just know that up until now, it has been so healing and necessary and connecting with, you know, with other people who can relate to these experiences and who understand them, who understand the shorthand of what it is that I'm saying. And, you know, it's translated into who I am moving forward. So yeah, I'm looking forward the next time we touch base to see where I am, because it's also pretty cool for me to go along in this journey of appearances that I do with you, to see how I've grown, to see how I've changed. And so I'm looking forward to next time to see where I am there and with you too, and where, you know, where we are.
Thanks for listening to the Hella Chingona podcast. Remember to show us some love by subscribing and following the podcast at hellachingona.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching for Hella Chingona podcast. That's HellaChingona podcast. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So drop us a comment or simply share the podcast with a friend.